5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
Hello? Yes, this is she. Well, the doctor's not in today, so can I have a name for the appointment? Broski. Okay. And what seems to be your problem today? Eczema that you're scratching so hard it's bleeding. Okay. And when did the bleeding start? Okay. About 6 months ago. Okay. And is there a reason you're just calling today and not? Oh, you're in the hospital. Okay. Okay. So you itched yourself so hard it started to scratch off. Okay. It's just exposed muscle. Okay, and does the muscle itch? Okay, no, so it's just the skin. Okay, well, here's what I will do. I will go ahead and forward your information to the doctor. He's not in right now. He's on vacation in Mallorca. So when he gets back, he will go ahead and give you a call. I'm going to send you some emails with some good, some files I need you to complete, okay? I hope you feel better. Yeah, you know, a little calamine lotion might be good for that. Well, I know your muscle doesn't itch anymore. It's just that skin, but it seems like it's gone now. Okay, yeah, I'll send you them emails. All right, I hope you feel better. All right, bye, Miss Broski. Oh, hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Broski Report. I am filling in for the host today. I'm more of a receptionist. My name's Linda. I have to tell y'all about these little drinks I found. They're all in the fridge back here. Blue Edition Blueberry Red Bull. Now, I heard a rumor they're not making them anymore, so I feel very lucky I get to try one today. So let's go ahead and crack that open. You know, they always say in the news that when you do one of them drinks, it's the color that'll kill you. You know, I hear that a lot. It's the color that will kill you because it's that the blue is from crushed up beetles. And I heard that and I thought, my God, I'm never going to drink someone. And look what I'm doing today. You know how it is. You know how it is. Anyway, y'all, cheers for real. Now that is good. Okay. Hi, y'all. Welcome back. Today, I thought we'd do something a bit different around here. Because I am filling in, I felt like the place could use a sprucing up. So back here behind me on the wall, and if you are just listening, oh my God, that is probably for the best because there is a ginormous ass spider up in the corner there, and I just got a chill, goose pimples down my arms, y'all. I mean it. Oh my Lord. But I do think, because, you know, Miss Broski filled me in before she got here, and you heard about her eczema. Oh, y'all, and that's so horrible. I feel so horrible for her. I know she doesn't feel too pretty, but I will go ahead and say, from me and all of y'all watching, I do wish her exomuscular system the best, really. There's nothing worse than just itching. You know, when you got to itch, you know, when that's itching, you know, when you got to itch, you got to scratch. There's nothing worse. So I really hope she feels better. And, you know, my hands have started to itch as well. It might just be the winter time. It might be, hell, I don't know. Itchiticulitis, you know what I mean? That's probably what I've got. So behind me, I've done a little change to the set. I did not like that melting clock up there, y'all. It always sat weird to me. It always did not match. You couldn't even see the time. And I feel like when the set designer did it to begin with, it was sort of like Miss Broski sort of said, okay, that's fine. I just need to start filming. You know what I mean? And I don't think she ever cared enough to look at it with a critical eye. What would make the set look better? So I kind of, the liberty, I took it upon myself to purchase a new clock. So in the middle here, you can see the beautifully color coordinated orange and blue matched. And you know something else? I will spill all her secrets now she ain't here. The front of this desk actually has the blobs, kind of like a mid-century modern, what would you call that? Y'all, excuse my cussing. Mid-century embellishment. Okay. It is actually going to be mid-century modern. Focus on clean lines, organic curves, and bold geometric patterns. That's kind of, y'all, excuse my cursing. I'm so sorry. The blue and orange actually corresponds to what's on the front of the desk. And maybe in earlier episodes, you could see the front of the desk, but you know, these rooms that she films in are so damn small. So it really does, you know, we can put a picture up here maybe of kind of what the lower portion of the set looks like, because it really, y'all, it's real pretty in here. I wish you could see it. She doesn't care too much for the viewer experience, and I think that kind of shows. So I took it upon myself that the clock is fixed. It's gray. It matches the little screen over here. It kind of matches, you know, the globe. The laptop's gray, that sort of thing. And it's mid-century. So I found this beautiful clock up here, went ahead and hung it. And I set the time right, I think. And because you can tell analog time with the hands on the clock. So I actually set that. I found it. And now I'm just realizing them other two clocks are wrong. Damn it. Then mother took, y'all, please excuse my cursing. Oh my sweet Lord, I'm so sorry. I got the mouth of a sailor today. Shit. Okay. Up here, I really like what I've done with the mixture of both materials and of shapes, of geometric patterns. Okay, I've mixed the square or the rectangle with these ovals that match the front of the desk. Okay. Now, I hate to be that type of person that calls attention to it, but my God, y'all, I got a haircut. I hope y'all like it. And I just found these glasses laying around. I don't know. You know, I need my readers. But then when I'm driving, I need my, I'm nearsighted. Okay, so I just wanted to bring some attention to that. And y'all, let's go ahead and get, I've got a beautiful candle burning over here. This is, it's by Aesop. Now, I don't really know what the name of the candle is. And to be totally honest with you, it's under a warmer, so I can't even lift it up and look at it. But even if it was on fire, I couldn't do that anyway. Okay, so y'all are just going to take my word for it. It smells real pretty in here. She actually told me a friend gave that to her before she left on her medical leave. I hope she feels better. A friend gave that to her, and he's in a band. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's in a band. And they love to play. I know they play the banjo. I know that's what they do in that band. So he actually gave that to her, and it was real, real sweet. So I've turned it on. You know, when you do the candle warmer as well, it preserves the wax. So you don't burn through candles. Y'all don't mind my double entendre there. You don't burn through candles as quickly because it's just melting the wax, and, you know, it's coming back to life when you turn it off. So I like a candle warmer personally. I'm not inhaling them black fumes. My lungs aren't black. Okay, I like that a lot. Okay, let's go ahead and get into what I want to do today. Hey guys, I wanted to tell you something that has really been giving me a lot of joy lately, and it is the what the fucking kind of podcast is this? What the fuck kind of fruit is this?
That is a dragon fruit from Guatemala.
What the fuck kind of fruit is this?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know, fucking idiot?
I get tired of narrating these TikToks a lot.
What kind of fucking... I don't know. What kind of fuck... I don't know. What the fucking kind of fruit... Shut the fuck up. Don't tell me to shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. What kind of fucking fruit is this? What kind of fuck... Is this a mango? Put the video up here that I'm referencing.
What kind of fruit is this?
This is Chinese mango. Very delicious and juicy.
What kind of fruit is this?
I don't know.
You dumb motherfucker.
What kind of fruit is this?
You keep messing this up.
It is very hard narrating all of these TikTok videos every day.
Taking care of a senior loved one can feel like a lot. Almost like being the receptionist in charge of every call, every form, and every emergency. Kind of like the wild phone calls on the Broski Report. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you know exactly what kind of help your parent needs or you're still figuring it out, there's support. Find background-checked caregivers through Care.com for anything from companionship to dementia care. You can even browse senior living communities, read reviews from families, and schedule tours. Care.com's algorithm suggests caregivers based on location, experience, and availability, so you can find help that fits your life. For a limited time, use the code POD20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's POD20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care search today.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Okay, y'all, I wanted to tell you what I had for lunch today because something major just happened to me about 30 minutes ago. For lunch today, I realized I had nothing in the fridge. I had some leftover rice because I ordered Thai food last night. I heated up my rice in the fridge with a wet paper towel over the top to preserve the moisture and dry the rice out. I know some people will put like an ice cube in there. To each their own. I don't give a fuck what you're doing in your house, okay? You never know what people are doing in their houses. And imagine if I answered the door like this. Hello? 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 I have to start answering the phone like that. Yeah, hello. Hello? Today for dinner, for lunch, I had spicy tuna and I made it myself. The Genoa tuna in olive oil, got that out the can, mixed it with some QP mayo and some gochujang, or the spicy bean paste. I mixed all that together, put it with my rice, put some furikake on top, which is the little seaweed and nori and sesame seeds. Delicious. And then on the side, I had some little stir-fried vegetables because fiber is in for 2026. All you bitches, me included, who were addicted to protein last year. Oh, protein helps your brain function. Protein doesn't mean shit if all you're doing is drinking chocolate milk with protein in it and you're not eating. You're not eating a vegetable, bitch. Okay? You need to eat a vegetable. And that's something that I've realized in my 28 years. Sometimes you need to eat a vegetable. And it's good. Okay, it's good to realize that. Have a vegetable. Have a fruit. What the fucking kind of fruit is this?
That's a broccoli. That's not a fruit.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, so you start eating more vegetables. I have started doing this. I told you I did that Courtney, what's her name, where I stuck the cheese down in the middle of the sweet potato and I ate that shit. Yeah, it gave me diarrhea. And by the way, did the spicy tuna today, I needed to pay a visit to the toilet man? Yeah. And I owe the toilet man money. The toilet man comes knocking at my door like a fucking booty call. Y'all, I'm serious at this point. Like, I don't know what to do. I've talked to my friends about it. I've talked to my loved ones. And they're like, you know, you keep inviting the toilet man over. And I'm like, that was once when I was like 9 years old, okay? When I was like, oh, the toilet man, what's he about? 28 years later, starring Cillian Murphy, it's me and the toilet man. Okay, I pay him in diarrhea about once a month. More than that, about once every 2 weeks. I'll eat something because, you know, hey, and I hate to say it, don't have a gallbladder, okay? Can't process fat like a normal human being. For any of you bitches who have a gallbladder, you need to take a moment, pause this video, pause this episode, and thank the universe that you got a gallbladder. Because you can eat high-fat foods. You can eat a Popeye's chicken sandwich with extra sauce on the side and a side of mashed potatoes and gravy and some fries and some red beans and rice and a sweet tea, and you can have all that. And maybe it'll send you to the toilet, man, maybe it won't. But regardless, your body can take it, okay? Me, when I want a Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich meal with a side of mashed potatoes and gravy and some red beans and rice and fries and a sweet tea, I can't do that. And I used to love doing that, okay? That was also like, the gallbladder of it all really made me be like, okay, maybe what I put in my body matters. Maybe I can't just be doing chocolate milk protein and then like getting high at 11 p.m. DoorDashing Dubai chocolate strawberries. Maybe that's not what you should do. And it took that happening to me for me to realize that. Okay. So learn from my mistakes. And you don't know what it's like to feel so wrong. Is that a Jonas Brothers song? You don't know what you got until it's gone. That has to be a Jonas Brothers song. Why am I singing in a Nick Jonas voice? Don't know what it's like until it's gone. Who the fuck sings that? Cinderella? What the fucking kind of song is this? Okay, maybe it's this song from 1988 that I'm thinking of. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Cinderella, 211 million views. And you know what? Hell fucking yeah. You don't know what it's... One of you bitches are going to clock what I'm singing and please, please, please put it in the comments. I think it's from Camp Rock. I think it's from Camp Rock or it's from the Love Bug album by the Jonas Brothers. Somebody please, 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 please. Thank you. Okay.
What the fuck kind of fucking shit was I talking about?
You don't know what it's got, so it's gone. Gallbladder. Thank you. Thank you. You don't know what it's got. You don't
know what it's like to feel so.
I swear to God, that's a Nick Jonas cover. Or maybe, I don't know. Okay. And thank you for bringing up the Jonas Brothers. This is another thing that I really wanted to talk about. There was something similar to crack that was put in that song the Jonas Brothers did for Max Keebler's, or no, Johnny Coppola Back on Board. I'm pretty sure it was Johnny Coppola Back on Board, that Disney Channel movie. There is a song that they did for that, and you know what I'm about to say. It's called Hold On. And me and Drew have talked about this before, where she said, Wait, I have to call her. I have to call her. Pick up. Hey, okay. I have a question. When you were talking
about the hair or no?
Not right now. There's a song, a Jonas Brothers song, and I believe I know the name of it, but you said that when you would listen to it, you literally would be like, you know what I mean? What was that song?
There was quite a few, but I want to say When You Look Me in the Eyes. That was it. When You Look Me in the Eyes.
Okay.
It wasn't the diabetes song, right? Where you're talking about the diabetes song.
Yeah, a little bit longer. No, I'm thinking of the one from the Johnny Capahala Back on Board.
Get ready with me while I hard launch my diabetes diagnosis. Get ready with me while I launch my type 1 diabetes. Unbox my type 1 diabetes diagnosis with me.
Wait, I think it was Hold On.
Oh my God. Yes. It was literally Hold On. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
It was Hold On. And I said, if you're going through a hard time, I'm telling you, blast that song. Like, I'm telling you, the lyrics are actually profound.
No, they're like, they went crazy on it. This is also something obviously I'm filming the podcast right now. There was a song that I'm like accrediting to Nick Jonas singing, and it can't be right, but it's him saying, you don't know what it's like to feel so. What song is that?
A little bit longer.
You're so wrong! You're so wrong!
Get ready with me to launch my type 1 diabetes diagnosis.
Get ready with me to do my insulin injection.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Hold On.
It was Hold On.
Like, it will solve your problems. Like, yo, I literally, I'm not even kidding, I blasted it by myself and sobbed. I sobbed. And then I felt better after.
So and this was last year. Yeah.
Yeah, don't knock it before you try it.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You're welcome. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Yeah. Yeah. And that was, I knew it. I fucking remembered. She said that song literally got her through some like major shit. And it was a little bit longer and I'll be fine. You don't know what is you. A little bit longer and I'll be fine. And what does that mean? This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. Y'all ever paid for a subscription you forgot about? I recently found out I've been paying for some random streaming service I used one time in 2021 to watch a Pedro Pascal movie, and I never canceled it. So that's awesome. Just a quick 5 years of paying for a service. Yay. I wish I had known about Rocket Money in 2021. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money tracks subscriptions and has the ability to cancel within the app with a few taps, saving time and avoiding charges. You can set budgets and goals, get personalized insights and regular reports, and receive real-time alerts for large transactions, upcoming bills, refunds, and low balances. The app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give users a clear view of their financial picture. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/broskyreport. That's rocketmoney.com/broskyreport. rocketmoney.com/broskyreport. This episode is sponsored by Hungry Root. I know y'all have heard me talk about Hungry Root before, so you know how much I love it. Because it truly simplifies my life. As the leader of a nation, I got a lot going on. It really saves me time and energy to do all my weekly food shopping with Hungry Root. Hungry Root plans all my meals and groceries for the week. It fills my cart. It delivers everything I need to eat healthy every day, all while fitting my health goals, dietary preferences, and budget. Unlike other food delivery companies, Hungry Root now has over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes to choose from each week, with many ready in just 15 minutes or less. And with over 1,000 grocery items like smoothies, sweets, kids' snacks, salad kits, ready-to-eat meals, and supplements, it's insanely easy to find options that fit everyone's tastes and nutrition goals. I love that Hungry Root holds all of its food to high standards. It screens out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. They source only high quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics. They offer organic produce and non-GMO options and carry trusted healthy brands. Most New Year's resolutions die within a few weeks of the new year, but Hungry Root makes eating healthier so easy that you can seriously stay on track with your health goals or new diet past January. Hungry Root knows that I don't have a gallbladder and I need to eat a low-fat diet, so it recommends me things that my body can actually handle, and I don't have to think about it. It just fills my cart. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as I do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/broski and use code broski. That's hungryroot.com/broski, code broski, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of choice for life. Let's look at the lyrics. Oh, I just got a chill. Okay, I just got a chill because listen to the first two lines of this song and tell me you also didn't get a chill. Got the news today. Doctor said I had to stay a little bit longer and I'll be fine. Bitch, he thought he was gonna die. You guys don't understand unless you do. The moral panic that all of the Jonas Brothers fan base had when it was like, Nick Jonas is going to die. You're not getting that. Like, he's going to die. Obviously, he didn't. And obviously, it wasn't that serious. But, like, bruh, that diabetes diagnosis shifted something for a lot of us. Like, my first kind of, you know, face-to-face mirror interaction with my own mortality was Nick Jonas having diabetes. So, and my own grandmother had diabetes. I just was like, I don't even know what that means because that's just me. But, like, Nick Jonas? You're not getting it, bro. He could die. Anyway, I think they did that shit on purpose. I think that shit was a marketing ploy. And to be honest, one of the smartest ones they've ever done. One of the smartest marketing ploys you could have is revealing a diagnosis along with like an album drop. Okay? Listen to this album, by the way, it's terminal. I'm listening, I'm streaming, and it's not terminal, right? Diabetes is not. Maybe it can be if it's untreated. I actually don't know that much about diabetes. When I thought it all been done, when I thought it all been said, a little bit longer and I'll be fine. But you don't know what you got until it's gone. And you don't know what it's like to feel so low. And every time you smile, you laugh, you glow. You don't even know. Waiting on a cure, but none of them are sure. Some of the most honest songwriting I've ever heard in my fucking life. I'm like being serious. Like he was what, 16? And he was like, gotta hit the fucking studio. I have to hit the studio. And guess what? I would too. If I was a 16-year-old boy in a boy band, like so actually mega global famous, and I got a crazy diagnosis, I'd be like, obviously we're making this a song. Obviously this shit's going on the record, going on the final album. And here's the thing. No one makes albums anymore. This album, I'm pretty sure, was called Jonas Brothers. Or no, it was called A Little Bit Longer. Sorry. It was called A Little Bit Longer. I'm tweaking. Albums. I hate the way Spotify does this fucking bullshit. Lines, Vines, and Trying Times. That was a great album. A Little Bit Longer. Yeah, 2008. It's gotta be good to me. Burning Up. Shelf. One Man Show. Love Bug. Helpless, on the ice, I'm just breathless. I never thought that I'd get this. Tonight, Can't Have You, Video Girl, Pushing Me Away. I don't remember half of these songs. A little bit longer. Yeah, Jonas Brothers, the original. Good night and goodbye? Good night and goodbye. How does that song end? That's it.
Up and down, you're all around. Say goodnight. Goodbye.
Damn, they went the fuck off on the dog. You know what's actually one of my favorite songs ever made? And don't, guys, I don't want to hear it. This is something that's very vulnerable, actually, that I'm about to say. And I'm actually, like, freaking out because I'm ready for the criticism and the judgment that I'm about to be met with. Do you know what one of my favorite songs ever on this planet is? Bacon by Nick Jonas. Bacon by Nick Jonas! Bacon by Nick Jonas and Jealous. I turn my chin music up. What does that mean? Puffing my chest, I'm getting red in the face.
Call me a sis. It's not your fault that they have a, I mean, no disrespect. It's my right to be headed. I still get jealous.
He put his pussy into that song. He put his big fat moose pussy into that song. Oh my God. Jealous and Bacon by Nick Jonas. How did, oh my God. Bacon by Bacon by Nick Jonas. Wow. That whole album is actually really great for genuinely no reason. Well, and of course, Ty Dolla Sign's on it, sure. Voodoo, voodoo, 2016. This album's great. Voodoo, champagne problems. Close. Close. Ooh, ooh. Chainsaw, another great one. Touch, Bacon, Good Girls, The Difference. Don't get the difference, baby. Look, I have this album saved. Are you stupid? Don't make me choose. Under You, Unhinged, Comfortable. I genuinely loved this album because here's something, okay? I'm gonna speak on the Jonas Brothers solo careers. Fine, are you happy? I think, and of course, I don't know the whole story, and of course, those are my close personal friends, Nick, Joe, and Kevin. I think that them splitting up and doing their own solo shit and like Kevin being a dad and like doing everything was one of the best things for them. You know, and like, can't change the past. But like, I know the boys. And I feel like they needed that. And they needed to split and come back together to understand the beauty they had. And also, man, they were fighting. Girl, they were fighting. I don't want to watch y'all fight. You need to go off. Nick needs to make bacon. Joe needs to make cake and the dancing foot in the ocean. And Kevin needed to be a dad. Kevin needed to put Cocomelon on the YouTube TV. Okay. And that is what happened. And it made art. They came back together and they made art. And I did love that song. Go back. Bacon by Nick Jonas. I love that song. Happiness Begins. Isn't that before that was when they came back together. Greetings from Your Hometown. Okay, maybe I didn't listen to Greetings from Your Hometown, but I did listen to the album and I did love Wings. And I did love Waffle House. Actually, I did love that song. And from Happiness Begins, I did obviously love, this song is very summer. This album's very summer to me. Like, on a human, like I'm on the beach. Like I'm doing the brave thing where my stomach's kind of out. I'm doing the brave thing where I'm like wearing a high-waisted bikini, but I'm like, I'm obviously everyone's staring at my fucking gut. I'm like, everyone here is looking at my gut and thinking about my happy trail that I didn't shave. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of summer where you're like, dancing in the living room, dancing, gotta do my foot, da-da-da. I have a happy trail, my bush is out, okay? Like, that, it's that kind of summer. It's like body neutrality summer. And I'm hoping to do that every summer. Do you guys understand me? Like, am I speaking into the fucking void? Can I get an amen in the fucking chat? Chat, clip that. Chat, dance in the living room, dancing, gotta do my the attitude, drunk. Only human. Mashed up with Bacon by Nick Jonas, mashed up with Buffalo Soldier, Deadlock Rasta. Because why does Happiness Begins have like a reggae? It has like a reggae undertone. Why? I need to go back to this album because wow. I mean, clearly Sucker and Only Human were the like banger bangers, but there are some sleeper hits on this song. Jonas L.A., music from the TV series. L.A., L.A., baby. The Jonas Brothers featuring MGK, featuring Logic, featuring G-Eazy. Yeah. Super Bowl 2027 be like. Okay. Jonas Brothers, hold on. Thank you for bringing me back to that. Hold On by the Jonas Brothers. That music video also was very sexy to me as like a 15-year-old girl. Like I was in my, how old? I was probably early high school, late middle school. No. If that was 2008, I was 12, 13. I was born in 97. 3 plus 8, 13, 11. 11. I was 11.
So, get that fucking right. Get that through your fucking head.
Right? 8 plus 3, 11. Yeah, I was 11. And that shit to me was like, oh, wow. Wow. Okay, let's go ahead and move on. One thing, and that two things actually that happened to me this last week, and then I'll move on. I was in New York for some Fashion Week stuff. Slay. Bitch, slay. Went to the Michael Kors show with Teffy. Love. I did some stuff with... What the hell did I do? Oh, I went on some daytime television. Wow. Broski Nation, we're on daytime television. We're promoting our IP on daytime television. Thank you. I did Subway Takes. I'm excited for that to come out. I also saw the Sleeping Beauty ballet now. I saw Sleeping Beauty. Now, it might be recency bias, but I do think that Sleeping Beauty visually, yeah, I'll say that. Set design wise and costume wise, probably my favorite that I've seen. Now, mind you, I've only seen three ballets in my life, and that's the Nutcracker, Swan Lake, and Sleeping Beauty, okay? Swan Lake obviously is iconic in a lot of different ways, from the score to the set to the dance. Like, there, I would say that's the most famous ballet. Because people know the Nutcracker as a story, but it is a ballet. I affiliate the Nutcracker more with the Barbie movie. Sorry! I also saw, I told you this, I went through and I saw Balanchine's Nutcracker, which at the end, Clara's still a little girl. She doesn't even like end up with the prince. They're just kids. And then they get in a little carousel or in a little sled at the end and they fly off into the moon. I don't know, bro. Okay, I would prefer, obviously, in the Barbie movie, he's hotter as the Nutcracker. And I don't know what science that is. Put him up here. Put up the side by side. He's hotter as the Nutcracker than as the Ken doll, okay? And that is a hill that I will die on. I will die on that. He's also more like not my Nutcracker. You know what I mean? That is my Nutcracker. Anything else is a cheap imitation of what the Barbie movie Nutcracker was. He is, that's Dada. Like, that is my king. Of course he's the prince. Like, that's my Nutcracker. And I think that from that to watching it in a ballet, I'm like, Now, what I'm missing is the kind of, like, woodenness. I miss when he was, like, wooden. Okay? So, and he was bigger than her. Oh, it was just a whole thing. So, I will say my favorite ballet I've seen probably is Sleeping Beauty. Soundtrack. Favorite soundtrack or score is probably Swan Lake. Just for that one where the four little swan ballerinas are like this and they're... Right? They're like going across the stage diagonal and their feet are doing this. It's so satisfying. And then they swap when they're going the other way. It's so satisfying. Guys, you know what I found recently? Anything imaginable that you have wanted to see or have missed has been uploaded to YouTube illegally. I think that's beautiful. There are full-blown bootleg versions of any ballet you've ever wanted to see on YouTube. And I think that's awesome. And some of them are professionally shot. They've just been uploaded. So I need to watch. I've been meaning in my... Hey! I have saved Giselle, the ballet, in my watch later. And I've been nervous because I'm like... Before I saw Sleeping Beauty 2, I had to read the Wikipedia, because I don't remember. Okay. I had to read the Wikipedia because, okay, she pricked her finger and then she fell asleep, but she should have died. And then a man kissed her and now it's okay. Like, what? Sister, what? And so I had to reread it and be like, oh, that's right. Because a witch, an evil witch, had cursed her when she was a baby. Not dissimilar to Hercules. How Hades came and was like, ah, congrats on your new baby. Fucking kill it. I'm going to kill it. And then because it was Hercules, he was like, ah, you can't kill me. And then, you know, that's kind of the whole plot of the whole movie. Similar to Sleeping Beauty. She came in and she was like, ah, new baby. I'm going to fucking kill it. Oh, I'm going to kill it so hard. So she came in and there's this like lilac fairy. And she's the most powerful. Like, love defeats hate. You know what I mean? And so the evil witch comes in and she's like, rah! She's got these four little, they were scary as fuck. These four little henchmen. that are in these costumes that are like a fly meets a roach meets a hound of hell. They were scary as fuck and they would bounce up and down. Ah! I'm like a kid in the audience. Every time they come on the stage. Anyway, she comes out and she's like, birthday curse. And then the lilac fairy is like, no, you will not kill her. But if she pricks her finger before her 18th birthday, she will not die as you intended, but she will fall asleep for 100 years. And then the witch is like, fucking bitch. And then the witch goes away. And then guess what? Aurora pricks her finger. Like literally we told you, like, don't prick your fucking finger. We literally, that was your one rule. And it's because the witch comes in and, you know, she hands her a bouquet on her 18th birthday. And she's like accepting all these flowers from these suitors. And this old hag in a like cape comes and she's like, flowers, that's good. And then she takes them and then she dances off with them. Ah! There's a needle in it. It pricked her finger. Bitch, she passes out. Okay. And then the flower, the lilac fairy comes in and she does all these dances and then she makes everyone go to sleep. Vines, ivy grows over the castle, grows over all the people, grows over fucking whatever. 100 years pass. And I liked this. This is why I bring this up about the costuming and the set design. They signify that 100 years has passed because the, I guess, set pieces and the castle interior and the costumes are in Act One are 1700s. They're like, I guess, Rococo. And I wanted to look up where is Sleeping Beauty set, I guess, because I thought it was in Austria. Is that wrong? It's not in France. Beauty and the Beast is in France. I think this is in Austria, but I'm probably wrong. Anyways, that's Act One. Act Two comes on, and the prince, who, of course, wakes her up by kissing her, he's wearing garb from the 1800s. It's more like, you know, mid-1800s, late-1800s with the, it looks Victorian. And trust me, I know Victorian, bro. And I was like, okay, I like that. See, it's those little things where I'm paying attention. I don't know if any of these other idiot bitches in the crowd are paying attention, but I want every ballerina, like when you're talking to a flight attendant, when the flight attendant's doing the safety shit and you're front row like, That was me with the ballerinas. They're like telling the story. And I'm like, I'm taking notes. I've got this wig on and these glasses on. I'm screaming and crying every time the little beasts come out on stage. There's this one scene. I had a human moment. I started crying. There's this one scene towards the end where there are these, I guess for her birthday celebration or the wedding celebration at the end, there is a boy cat and a girl cat that come out. Now they're humans. Okay, they're ballerinas. They're just dressed like that. They come out and they're doing this silly little dance where they're like playing with their ears and the boy cat like wants to kiss the girl cat, whatever. She keeps swatting him away or whatever. There was one part where something happened and the girl cat like swats him away and a little girl in the audience where we were sitting started laughing so hard it made me cry. Because I was like, imagine being a little girl and going to see the Sleeping Beauty ballet. Hey, I'm going to actually tear up thinking about it. Like, that's magical. At the New York City Ballet, if I saw Sleeping Beauty as an 8-year-old at the New York City Ballet, that would have changed my life for fucking ever. Honestly, the Barbie movies, I'm very thankful for because I have a little sister and we really bonded over that shit because that shit is awesome. Barbie movies are awesome. And they really introduced me to the whole realm of a lot of classic stories. Nutcracker, Swan Lake, and Sleeping Beauty, bruh. Actually, maybe not Sleeping Beauty. That is Disney. I'm more so thinking of Disney. But bruh, Fairytopia, Mermaidia, Magic of Pegasus, 12 Dancing Princesses. You guys aren't getting it! This episode is sponsored by Cash App. What design do y'all think I should put on my Cash App card? I'm thinking dragon scales, randomly. Yeah, probably dragon scales. Thanks for your input, guys. One of the coolest things about Cash App is that you can design your own debit card. You can pick from a bunch of different colors and patterns, add your favorite stamps, doodles, or even you and your friends' inside jokes to make it totally unique to you. You also get exclusive savings on stuff you're already buying, like coffee, boba, video games, and more. And if you're the type who loves concerts, your Cash App card gets you early access to ticket sales for huge tours like Kendrick Lamar and SZA and Sabrina Carpenter. Finally, no need to worry about random monthly charges or minimum balance requirements. Take control of your money today with Cash App. And if you're between 13 and 17, you can still sign up. Just ask your parent or guardian for help to open up a Cash App sponsored account. For a limited time, new Cash App customers over 18 years old can earn $10 if they use code THATSMONEY10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. If you're 13 to 17 years old, request a sponsored account from a parent or guardian, sign up with code THATSMONEY10, and get $10 dropped into your account when you order and activate your Cash App card and send $5 or more to a friend within your first 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Discounts and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. They need to make a Nick Jonas ballet where it's the score is all Nick Jonas songs. And we'll find another choreographer, but I'll be the creative director. Okay. New York City Ballet, if you're looking for a new creative director, I am available. Thank you. Anyway, that made me cry. A little girl, like, laughing at the ballerinas being silly. I was like, oh, that's actually what life's all about. You ever have those moments? Oh, that's what life is all about. What the fuck? Childhood innocence and celebration of beauty. Wow. Okay. By the way, I do have some, like, creative narrative storyline concerns with what Sleeping Beauty is because prick your finger, sure, like that feels so random, you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things. Like, okay, but if you prick your finger before your 18th birthday, you're gonna, what are you talking about, bro? If you smell your armpit with your left hand on the fourth Friday of the, what, bro? Like, sure, don't scratch your armpit with your left fingernail, you'll fucking die before your 18th birthday. Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty story origin. It's an ancient oral folktale with early written versions appearing in the 14th century romance Perseforest and Gian Battista Basile's 17th century Sun, Moon, and Talia. Who the fuck is Talia? The most recognizable sanitized version was published by Charles Perrault in 1697, followed by the Brothers Grimm's Briar Rose. Look, French, German, Italian, La Belle Bois Dormant, the beauty asleep in the forest, the beauty sleeping in the wood, German, Dornoschen, Dornosken, or Little Briar Rose, Italian, La Vela Addormentata, also titled in English as The Sleeping Beauty in the Woods. A fairy tale about a princess cursed by an evil fairy to sleep for 100 years before being awakened by a handsome prince. A good fairy, knowing the princess would be frightened if alone when she wakes, uses her wand to put every living person and animal in the palace and forest asleep to awaken when the princess does. The origin. Early contributions to the tale include the medieval courtly romance Perseforest. 1337? Damn. In this tale, a princess named Zelandine falls in love with a man named Troilus. Her father sends him to perform to... I'm not paying attention. I'm reading and I'm not paying attention. I'm thinking about something else. In this tale, a princess named Zelandine falls in love with a man named Troilus. Her father sends him to perform tasks to prove himself worthy of her. And while he is gone, Zelandine falls into an enchanted sleep. Who enchanted her, bro? Why is she asleep? Troilus finds her and impregnates her in her sleep. When their child is born, the child draws from her finger the flax that caused her sleep. Flax. What the hell is flax? This is fucked up. Why is every single fairy tale rooted in a woman's suffering? Flax. Highly nutritious seeds. Oh, like flax seeds. I'm getting it. She realizes from the ring Troilus left her that he was the father, and Troilus later returns to marry her. Another early literary predecessor is the Provençal versified novel Frère de Joie et Sœur de Plaisir, the second part of the Sleeping Beauty tale in which the princess and her children are almost put to death but instead are hidden, may have been influenced by Genevieve of Brabant. And who the hell is Genevieve? Is the heroine of a late medieval legend based on the motif of the virtuous wife falsely accused of infidelity. Oh, great. Another woman suffering for literally no fucking reason. Her story is a typical example of the widespread tale of the chaste wife falsely accused and repudiated, generally on the word of a rejected suitor. It's about to piss me off, bro. Genoveva of Brabant was said to be the wife of the Palatine Siegfried of Treves. Was falsely accused. She was spared by the executioner and lived for 6 years with her son in a cave in the Ardennes, nourished by a roe. What the hell is a roe? See, this is how you get in the Wikipedia rabbit hole. Oh, a roe deer. I saw this scary ass video of all the different noises that like hooved creatures make in the forest. Roe deer were one of them. I said, oh, I don't like that.
I don't really care for that much.
Okay, so the second part of the Sleeping Beauty tale might have been influenced by Genevieve of Brabant. Even earlier influences come from the story of the sleeping Brynhild in the Volsunga saga and the tribulations of saintly female martyrs in early Christian hagiography conventions. Me when I have gay friends. Hagiography! Following these early renditions, the tale was first published by Italian poet Giambattista Basile, who lived from 1575 to 1632. You know what I've... not that I've realized, but something that has been on my mind. I started reading The Monk by Matthew Gregory Lewis. And this book is fuckery, okay? It is fuckery, and I could talk about it for a long time, and I'm only on page 12. Because there's an introduction to this book that is 35 pages long. I read about half of it and said, oh my God, let's just get into the book. This book was written when Bro was like 20. It was published in 1796, and it's heralded as one of the first Gothic books, okay? The Castle of Ortholo, or whatever that book is called the first Gothic book. This is one of the first Gothic books that kind of kicked off the genre of Gothic horror. But even though it's called a romance novel, this book is just depraved. And it is shocking for the sake of being shocking. It is about a monk who falls victim to his innermost lust and yearning and just depraved behavior. So it explores all that. I'm on page 12. I'm not deep into the book by any means. But going back to that time period and all of the conventions of society, this is right after the French Revolution, 1789, this is, you know, into the 1790s, all of Europe and America is reeling from the brute violence of this revolution. And, you know, yay, true change does have to come from violence, unfortunately, because reasoning with your master is never going to get you freedom. It has to come from violence, and that the French Revolution is, I think, the pristine example of that. But the terror and the violence reigned for decades after the revolution ended. And what's very interesting is anyone who was still alive or living after the monarchs were executed, you know, after King Louis and Marie Antoinette and any royal sympathizers were executed, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think you got one chance to, like, repudiate, is that the word I'm thinking of? To, like, claim that you're no longer loyal to the crown. Also, what crown are you loyal to, bitch? It's the revolution. Like, there's no one is a successor until Napoleon, bro. But this was truly the first witch hunt of this kind of, if you still have any sympathy for those that were in power and capable of subjecting us to such horror and lack, you know, lack of food, of well-being, of quality of life, you're just as bad as them and you deserve to go. So that influenced Bro. All this to say, that concept really influenced Matthew Gregory Lewis to write The Monk about the violence and the depravity. All of that was contextual to the story. But he, in the beginning, right before he starts the book, there's a whole page that has any reference that he could think of in the moment to a possible act of plagiarism that he could have committed. It's like one other story that's similar to, you know, this monk who goes rogue. There are different things that he's pulled from, and he actually cited them on the first page. Like, this was loosely inspired by this. I'm sure there's other things that I'm going to plagiarize, but I just wanted to get that off my chest. Now let's get into the book. This is similar where it's like, okay, Giambattista Basile was not the writer of the story of Sleeping Beauty. He didn't originate it, but rather it's an amalgamation of a bunch of different cultural influences and areas of intrigue that he has almost funneled into this story that, you know, even 400, 500 years later, we're still talking about. So that is interesting to me, this idea of plagiarism and of, you know, especially as it interacts with the idea of AI and ChatGPT and all of these, some of these fucking professors who are using AI. It's like, oh my God. So there are things that are forgivable that are, you know, maybe when you sit down to write a story, the things that you love or things that really influence you, maybe there will be a kernel of it in what you're writing, but the work will be inherently yours. It's original. AI and any of its adjacent sinners, there is such a lack of humanity there that it is unforgivable. It truly is just plagiarism. And I think that the point of college, now I'm on a rant, now that's pissed me off. The point of college and the point of paying for higher education and going to an institution that can afford you that education is to use your own brain muscle. If you are reliant on ChatGPT, if you are reliant on AI, you are lazy, you are a succubus, and you are wasting your time and your money. Because that's the point of college, is to sit down and think critically about the world around you, about the material in front of you, and it helps you become a full-fledged human being. I have no sympathy or care for anyone who is at a place of higher learning using artificial intelligence. That is unforgivable to me. You are a lazy piece of garbage, and you need to cut it out.
So that's actually all I wanted to say on that.
Anyway, the ballet was fantastic.
Was great.
I really, really liked the costuming. Again, how I could tell that like he was from a different time and the fairy brings him back in time to the 1700s to like be with her. Oh yeah, where was it? Where is Sleeping Beauty set? Where is Sleeping Beauty set? A fictionalized, well, this is Disney's, a fictionalized 14th century European kingdom. 14th century? This is supposed to be in the 1300s, bro. Heavily inspired by medieval France and Germany. I might need to rewatch Disney Sleeping Beauty because I don't remember it being that medieval. I mean, there's a castle and all that shit, but like, I don't know, France and Germany? While rooted in the French fairy tale by Charles Perrault, the film's visual design heavily incorporates German influences, particularly the castle, which is modeled after Bavaria's Neuschwanstein Castle.
Yeah, let me go ahead and click on that.
Whoa! Neuschwanstein. Oh, this is in Germany. Maybe I don't know what Bavaria is. Bavaria. Is that a region? Bavaria, officially the Free State of Bavaria, is a state in the southeast of Germany. It's the largest German state by land. So it's a state. I'm a fucking idiot. Like a pretzel! Like a Bavarian pretzel! We have to fly into Munich? Where the hell is... Oh, Nuremberg is in Bavaria. Bavaria's huge. That's like 1/5 of Germany. Schloss Neuschwanstein. Schloss is castle. If anyone speaks German, shout out to you guys. That language feels so unapproachable to me. And like, I speak a second language. Like, German feels like it's from a different time and a different planet. Even like Arabic feels more accessible to me because a lot of Spanish words and French words like steal from Arabic randomly because of history and migration and fucking whatever. But like German feels so, what the hell are y'all saying? I'd love to learn someday. Maybe when I'm like 55, I ain't got shit to do. I'll be around like about time I start learning German. You know what I mean? Damn. And what were all these castles for? I really need to take an edible tonight and just watch history of Germany. I mean, I know kind of some of the history, but, you know, maybe before that. Maybe before, I mean, like 1700s. What the fuck was going on? Franco-Prussian War? What the hell is that? You know what I mean? I need to dive back in.
So.
All right, guys. Thank you so, so much for tuning into whatever the fuck this was. I'm serious. I've got some things for you. I've got some things for you to do. Go watch Royal Court. We've got a crazy guest this week. Super fun for me. We've got merch. We've got broski.shop if you want a moo moo or a podcast t-shirt. Maybe some merch coming out later this year. We've got new YouTube videos. Holy shit, I film YouTube videos again. New video with Trixie Martell if you want to go check that shit out. Lots of things always happening, guys. If you are feeling altruistic, I have a bunch of links in the description for you to explore. I hope everyone is staying safe. It is pissing rain in LA right now, so hope everyone is dry. I hope you have a cozy night or a good day at work. And I hope you say something kind to somebody today, okay? And maybe, for fun, buy a wig. I'm feeling so much freedom through these wigs, okay? I love y'all to death, and y'all better be good. Okay, bye.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.